This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's catch up with one of our community reporters. Elizabeth Moeller joins us now with news from Toronto, Ontario. Hey, good morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm running fast, so you better catch me.
Well, speaking of, you just gave trail running a shot. What was that experience like? And was it different from running on a flat surface or a treadmill?
Yeah, absolutely. So trail running, just to back up for folks that don't know, is running on surfaces that are maybe incline or decline, rocky surfaces, leafy surfaces, surfaces where there might be a very narrow passageway. So unlike maybe running a traditional race where you might have a couple of hills, or unlike running on the treadmill, which can be flat unless you engage the incline decline, trail running is very bumpy. So it's a different type of running. Your body moves differently. You have to really lift your feet, but also the communication between you and your guide is a lot different. So for example, we might have to go single file, and then my guide would say something like tree, so duck, or they might say something like rocky path, lift up feet. So the way that you communicate is a little bit different, and also the way that you train, because there's times when you're going to have to run more slowly to be safe on the trail as a tandem pair.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy it? Did you like it? I mean, obviously it seems like maybe a nice break from riding on the treadmill all the time.
You know, there's a couple of things I really liked. I liked that I was engaging different muscles in my body because I was having to lift my feet, or I was having to really bend or twist to get through a narrow spaceway. I also found it a bit of a challenge around the communication, and that was nice. I had to really be on my toes, as it were. I think that what I really liked, though, was, and I think the photographs that are sent along will display this, is the beautiful fall weather. We saw some beautiful leaves. We were running out in the country. There was a landscape picture of me taken just by a cliff. And I think that that's the kind of thing you get in trail running, is that really kind of intimate connection with nature that you might not get if you were running on a treadmill or just doing sort of city running.
Are there other things that you'd consider as maybe you do this again? I know you took part in the Art in Motion 10K. Is this something you'd want to replicate? I mean, does it change maybe your approach? Are you now going to be a trail runner? Forget this triathlon life. It's now trail running, Elizabeth Moeller.
Oh, no, I don't know about that. I think it might be trail running and triathlon. I'm still loyal to the triathlons. I think, though, I have the confidence to do a race like this again. And I think for me, one of the big takeaways was that really communication, not just with your guide, but ahead of time with the race director, but what is the trail going to look like is important. But then you might get there and it rained the night before, so now you're dealing with totally different terrain because you're navigating puddles as well. So Absolutely, I would try it again. And I think that one of the things I would say for folks that aren't sure is maybe just go out and do some walking, trail walking, Do some hiking, see if it's for you, because, you know, it's a lot more attentiveness on your part, but also on the guide's part. So both of the tandem team has to feel comfortable.
Very cool. Well, Elizabeth, congratulations on finishing that run. It's no small accomplishment. So very cool. Glad to hear you're spreading your wings and trying some new stuff. But let's jump over to a fundraising campaign that's running called Because of Balance. So who's hosting this fundraiser and what's the campaign all about?
So Balance for Blind Adults is a not-for-profit organization located here in Toronto. And as the name suggests, Balance supports adults living with sight loss, 16 and up, with a range of skills, including orientation mobility, occupational therapy, and assistive technology, and of course, group programs. So as we know, anybody that's received service delivery, these services are critical, they're game changers. But the funding that's given through the LIN, or the Local Health Integration Network, only covers a portion of programs. And it's the group programming and the connection with peers and the peer support that is so important, the tele-peer support during COVID. And that's what this fundraiser is really key to providing, because this fundraiser allows individuals to tell their story in a way that's meaningful and impactful and raise funds to keep some of these great programs going. So I took part last year in a music appreciation class, for example. So that would be something programming covered by funds from donors and from the fundraiser. So I believe in the power of a good story. If you want to get involved, it's not too late. The campaign runs from October 12th to November 12th, so you can still get involved. Mm-hmm. The folks at Balance will help you design your story. You can do a little video, get yourself out there if you want, and set a fundraising goal for yourself. And it's a great confidence builder for us as clients and participants, but also great to spread the word about what this great organization does.
I think this might be a little bit of an obvious question, but how can people go out and support the campaign?
Well, there's a couple of ways. You can certainly donate, and we'll have links on the blog afterwards. You can start your own campaign if you're so inspired after doing a little bit more reading about Balance. You can also be a monthly donor of Balance for Blind Adults, or maybe you just want to share on social media. That's great too. Anything to promote the work of the organization is helpful. And I think that what's really beautiful about this is these stories are authentic. You're hearing directly from clients about why these programs are so meaningful and how these programs have changed our life. You can certainly check out my story. I've shared it on YouTube as well.
Excellent. Yeah, very cool to see folks doing that one. Elizabeth, you mentioned the blog, ami.ca/nowblog is one spot where folks can go to find out a bunch of links in regards to this, but they can also head over to balancefba.org, balancefba.org for more information. So let's jump over to the world of virtual events. There's one coming up called Artists with Disability, the Final Avant-Garde. So this event is part of a larger speaking series for diversity and inclusion. Who's hosting the event and what are some of the expectations?
So it's hosted by Seneca College. It's actually part of their EDI Art and Inclusion series. And it's going to be tomorrow night on Zoom. So that's October the 27th from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock p.m. Andy Slater is hosting the event, and he's a really interesting guy. He actually founded the Society for Visually Impaired Sound Artists. I didn't even know such a thing existed. Mm-hmm. And his work really relies on getting us to think differently about art and pulling away from this reliance on ocular optics to view art. So how else can we view art? What kinds of description can we use? And what are different ways that people might perceive art? So I think traditionally when people think about art, they think about looking. And so I think Andy's trying to get us to think a little bit differently about that. Seneca College has had a whole series of these, and this tomorrow night's the final one, but you can also find recordings from previous talks from artists. And I think what I really like about this is it's getting people talking about art who probably might not have a chance to talk about art. Mm.
Yeah, really opening up the doors, right? Trying to get more people into the tent to discuss it and discuss the merits and maybe a little bit of artistic analysis. So you mentioned that it's taking place tomorrow, and I've got to confess, Elizabeth, you were like, it's tomorrow, and I'm looking at my sheet and it says October 27th. I'm like, it can't be October 27th already.
But oh, I guess, Dave, I guess it already is.
How can people participate in this event?
Yeah, so you're going to register on Zoom. We'll pop a link up on the blog, and then you'll get a confirmation, and you can take part. And I hope that folks will enjoy it. And check out a little bit about Andy Slater. He's a really interesting guy. He's also done a lot of writing about art from the perspective of somebody with a disability.
Very cool. Hey, Elizabeth, thank you for making the time for us this morning. We appreciate it. Good luck with all the running endeavors as we enter into the late fall and winter season. We'll be pulling
yes,
for
keep
you.
Keep you posted. I'll keep you posted on those chilly morning runs for sure. Take care, Dave. Happy Halloween.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Happy Halloween to you as well. That's Elizabeth Moeller, our community reporter in Toronto, Ontario. And of course, you can find out more information on the stories we cover, especially things like links to virtual events, ami.ca/nowblog, ami.ca/nowblog. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.